When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, some hauntings don't scream, they whisper. They begin with a reflection that doesn't belong, a heartbeat that quickens before the mind can even name the fear.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. And yes, you are welcome to share your real ghost stories with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Call it 24-7 day, 24-7, 24-7 days, weeks, months, whatever the hell it is. Just call it and share your ghost stories. Hi, I'm Tony. That's Todd. How are you today?
Technology is great, isn't it, when it works?
Oh, my goodness. I was upstairs getting ready on the other computer, and then I came down here ready to go, and all of a sudden, everything goes black around me, and then I have to restart my computer, and then this and that, and yes, it's been a long day of recording stuff, but I've been looking forward to ghost stories, so here we are. What's going on in your world?
Well, getting ready for Halloween locally here in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. It has gotten cold, Tony. And the older I get, the more I kind of feel like you, where it's like, I just don't know how much longer I can put up with these swings. It's like 40s and 50s here, which is really not bad for Wisconsin, but I hate it. And it's cold and rainy, and it's like, I just feel like an old man.
The darkness, too. You can't really escape that most places, but it does get darker there far earlier in the north than it does in the south.
Yes.
And that is something I didn't realize till I'd come back and visited several years ago, where I was like, oh, God, yeah, like 4:30 in the afternoon. Not quite yet, but, you know, a little bit more into the
close.
Season.
Very dark. Close. Yeah. Yeah. And we'll be, you know, the clocks will be changing and that'll change a little bit. But still, it's like, dang it. 7 o'clock in the morning. It's still a little dark here. It's like,
yeah, we haven't even changed the clocks yet, have we?
No, that'll be coming.
Oh, God.
That'll straighten out the morning a little bit, but then it's going to be dark at night. And
I'm already feeling like, because it's getting dark at 7-ish or 6:30. And I'm like, oh, it's getting dark early. Yeah, it does get dark at like 5 now soon. Oh, Jesus. I need one of those those lamps that they used to get years ago. I think my grandparents had one where it was like year round. It like supposedly it emanates sunlight or emulates sunlight, and it's supposed to be really good for, I don't know. I just need to go outside when it is sunny.
That's the thing. We got to get outside during the day and enjoy it while we can.
I'm going to make a studio in a greenhouse.
There won't be any echo at all from the glass or anything like that. It'll sound perfect.
It'll be great, and I'll be potting zinnias while telling ghost stories. God. I think it'll be. Me and my girlfriend were actually talking about putting together a greenhouse. So I mean, not putting a studio in the greenhouse, but Well, you know, it's
is it warm enough there during the winter to stay warm inside, or would you have to heat it a little bit?
You'd have to heat it a bit. And there'd be some days where it's just going to be colder, but you could probably maintain plants. If you, I don't know how expensive that would be to maintain heat in an outdoor facility of glass in winter.
Who cares about expense? Just do it.
Just do it. These tomatoes, every one of them, $500.
But damn it, you'd have it year round.
Yeah. And I don't even like tomatoes.
What?
Yeah. So, yeah, that's one thing. I just, I like them cooked and everything, but I don't eat them fresh. I don't know. It's not my thing. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a letter and read this here. And it starts. Some stories don't begin with a crash or a scream. They begin in silence, and the tiny flickers of light across a dishwasher door, and the pounding of a heart that senses something unseen nearby. Jill had always believed her grandmother's presence lingered in the house. Granny, the warm spirit who seemed to hover like a gentle guardian, that belief gave her a strange kind of comfort. So when the air shifted that night and the sensation of being watched settled over her, she told herself it was probably Granny keeping her company. She sat at the computer in the small family room, her heart beating faster than the steady hum of the machine. The glow of the monitor lit her face in pale blue, reflecting in her glasses as she typed back and forth with a friend over live chat. It was late enough that every creak of the old house carried a sharper edge. "There's something behind you," her friend typed slowly. She blinked at the words on the screen, a small smile tugging at her lips. "I know," she replied, half amused at his alarm, half amused at her own charm. She didn't feel threatened. But even as she chuckled softly, the faint noise drifted in from the kitchen. She turned towards the sound, expecting to see Max, her loyal dog, sniffing around for crumbs. Instead, her gaze caught on the polished steel surface of the dishwasher. In the dim light, the reflective door mirrored back not just the kitchen, but something else. Someone else. A boy. He couldn't have been more than 6 or 7, his brown hair, soft and unevenly parted, brushed just above his eye. A faint red scratch arced above his right eyebrow, a small but telling mark. His cheeks were damp with tears, the kind that leave salty trails through the flush of a child's skin. The boy sat as if he'd been there for hours, one leg stretched out on the tile floor, the other bent so that his knee jutted upwards, both hands resting on that raised knee. His red and white striped shirt was faded and dirty, the kind of shirt that looked as if it hadn't been washed in a long time. His blue jeans were worn thin at the knees, and everything about him, the slouch of his shoulders, the way his lips pressed together, spoke of exhaustion. But it was his eyes that held her. Deep down, glassy with tears, they met hers in the reflection with something more than sadness, something that looked like a plea for help. He didn't look angry. He didn't look menacing. He looked lost. Jill's first instinct wasn't fear, but a sudden surge of empathy, a desperate wish to reach him. She stood quickly, pushing the chair back from the desk, stepping towards the kitchen to see him outside the reflection. But the space by the dishwasher was empty. Her eyes darted back to the silver door, and there was him, still fading, as if the reflective surface had been the only place he could exist. She watched helplessly as his form grew paler and paler until there was nothing left but her own startled face staring back at her. That was a year ago. Now, sitting alone in the house again, the memory of that boy in the dishwasher still lingered. The house was quiet except for the soft hum of the refrigerator. She thought about him often, the way he had looked at her, the silent plea in his expression. She wished she'd had the chance to ask him what he'd wanted, how she could help him. As she sat remembering, Max suddenly perked up from his spot on the rug and let out a sharp bark. "What is it, boy?" Jill asked, reaching down to stroke his fur. His eyes were fixed on the kitchen, his ears perked forward, every muscle tense. Following his gaze, she turned towards the dishwasher and froze. The boy was there again, just as before, He sat in that same strange position. His striped shirt as faded as ever, his jeans still too short at the ankles, his little hands resting on his bent knee. The tears were back too, glistening on his cheeks and his eyes. They hadn't changed. They still had that quiet, aching question, that need she could feel but not hear. She wanted to speak to him, wanted to ask what he needed, but the words caught her throat. Before she could say anything, he blinked out of existence, dissolving into the steel reflection like mist brushed away by wind. Her chest tightened with frustration. He was trying to reach her. She felt it. But he couldn't quite cross whatever line separated his world from hers. A moment later, her father's voice boomed from down the hall. "Jill, take Max out before we leave." "Max, where are you?" she called, rising from the chair. She spotted movement near the dining room table. A shadow crouched low. Assuming it was Max, playing hide-and-seek, she walked towards it with a faint laugh. "Come on, silly boy, there's no point in hiding. I'm going to catch you anyway." But before she reached the table, the sound of paws trotting across the floor made her glance over her shoulder. Max was behind her, trotting up the hallway, his tail wagging as if to ask what she was doing. Her heart thudded. If Max had been behind her the whole time, who or what was crouched by the dining room table? Slowly, she turned her gaze back to the shadowed corner, and there he was, the boy, no longer confined to the dishwasher reflection. He knelt on the floor with his small hands gripping the legs of one of the dining chairs. His posture was timid, his dark eyes fixed on her with the same imploring look as before. And for the first time, he had crossed the boundary between glass and air, stepping into the room as if summoning the courage to show himself. Before Jill could speak, before she could ask the question that had been on her mind for a year, her father's voice snapped again from the hallway. "Jill, I said, take the dog out now." She turned her head to call back, and when she looked at the table again, the boy was gone. The room felt emptier than before, and as if he had taken with him all the air she had been holding in her lungs. She knows he's trying to reach out. She knows he's not just a trick of light. With each appearance, he seems a little braver. First only, if in the reflection, now venturing into the physical space of the house. She can't shake the feeling that he's trapped somehow, bound to the house, or to some past pain. She believes he wants to be free, but something, fear, confusion, maybe even shame, keeps him from speaking. Jill lies awake at night, wondering how to help him. She feels certain that if he could just tell her what he needed, she could give him peace. But every time he appears, he fades before she gets the chance to ask. Some nights she catches herself staring at the dishwasher door, half hoping and half dreading that she'll see him again, small, sad, and waiting. She doesn't know how many more times he'll appear or if he'll ever find his voice. All she knows is that the boy with the tear-streaked face has begun stepping out from behind the glass, and that means he's closer than ever. And Jill can't shake that feeling that the next time he shows himself, he'll be standing right in front of her, too close to ignore and too close to deny. There's the story.
Creepy.
Yeah. Don't like reflections in my dishwasher.
Well, first of all, I don't think I've ever had a dishwasher that would have a reflection, especially since it's probably too dirty to do that. But it's interesting that, you know, a lot of times you hear stories about ghosts or whatever, kind of caught in glass, whether it be mirrors and stuff like that. But I've never heard it in an appliance.
That'd be an interesting one to be stuck in.
Can you imagine, like, that's your existence? The only way you can come forth is like through the through your Kirby or something like that. You know, you're stuck there.
I don't know. I don't know why you'd pick the dishwasher. But if you're a kid, I don't know. As a kid, I was fascinated by the dishwasher. We had a dish.
Can get that.
Because it was like, ooh, this is a kind of amazing. Like, look what this does. I mean, we grew up in a world where we probably both remember getting our first microwave.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember never having a working dishwasher. But my parents used theirs for, like, storage all the time.
Really?
Yes, and I don't know why. Then they got one that worked, and they still used it for storage to this day. I don't know. They like hand wash. I think that's what it comes down to. The dishwasher can't quite do it as good as we can, so right. we're going to do it better. And I feel the same way. But I do use my dishwasher because it's for convenience. I don't get this about dishwashers. How do you use it? Do you pre-wash your dishes and put them in the dishwasher, or do you just put them in the dishwasher, or do you rinse?
Well, see, first of all, I'll say this. I don't have one, so all okay. my dishes are done by hand. However, mm-hmm. growing up, we did have one. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it was just the time that they were out, that they didn't yeah. clean very well. My mom pretty much washed the dishes and then rewashed the dishes in mm-hmm. the dishwasher. But when I did have them in like apartments and stuff like that, I would rinse it off, get as much off mm-hmm. as you could before you threw it in for a good wash. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd rinse because if you just throw them in super thick, it's hard to get everything off.
Yeah.
But I don't understand this concept of let's wash the dishes and then put them in the dishwasher.
That's what my mom did.
It seems like more work than like, and I see it. My girlfriend does it too. And I'm like, saw it the other day. I'm like, is this worth saying? Like, did you want to do it?
Okay. So did you say something or not?
I didn't. I'm like, my prefrontal cortex was working because I'm a grown up now. And, but I think the younger me would have been like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, why are we washing and then putting them in the dishwasher? Is it to sanitize? I mean, I get that kind of sort of. I mean, I understand what it does, but if you've already washed it and you cleaned it pretty good, it's good to go. It'll air dry and you'll be fine.
Is she OCD about anything else, or is this just something that was glaringly interesting?
I don't know, because we're kind of learning some of these things about each other. I don't think that there's a whole lot of other things that are like that, but I just think it's how it's, everybody has their way of doing dishes, quite honestly. And I think that that's kind of it. And everybody thinks their way is the right way.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. Nobody can wash a dish like I can, period. And that's just the way it is. Because if I try eating off somebody else's dishes and they're not clean, mm-hmm. that says a lot about somebody to me. If you're at somebody's house and they, you know, sit down to eat or whatever, and there's something on the spoon or the fork or maybe even on the plate, mm-hmm. you're like, what is your life really like behind the scenes?
It says a lot. I mean, it really does. I mean, it's like, ooh, this isn't. And my daughter does a lot of the dishes by hand. It's one of her chores that she makes some money on. And I got to say, not always the best of jobs.
Does she get docked in pay then or not?
That would be a good idea, wouldn't it? That might improve the performance.
Performance
of that. No, unfortunately, I do feel like I need to be doing some of that. But it's just one of those things. People are very particular about their dishes. This being a child in this story makes me wonder why, because by that age, I don't think you've developed your own, you know, idiosyncrasies to washing dishes at that point. But dishwashers are neat. And I remember as a kid going into an appliance store and they had one of those, like the mock-ups of the dishwasher that it's like all in glass and it shows you what it does. And I'm pressing the button and then it activates. Like, oh, that's pretty amazing. So I got to say, I don't know, the 7-year-old me, if I died and it was like, what am I going to attach myself to? The dishwasher would be kind of something fun I would watch. I might pick the dishwasher if I had to pick an appliance.
You poor thing. We need to
pick
an
appliance.
Out.
If you had one appliance to pick, what would you attach yourself to?
That's tough. Maybe the stove. I don't know. You talked about a microwave oven. I remember getting one as a child, the first mm-hmm. one we ever had. And it was, oh, don't watch it. You'll get radiation and you'll go blind kind of thing. You know,
don't watch it. Oh, yeah. I didn't know you were watching it. I thought standing in front of it was bad. But.
Well, yeah, but you would, you know, you'd watch the food go around and kind of cook. It was like, wow, you know, the hamburger's frying or whatever it was doing at the time. Yeah, it was neat. But it was like, oh, don't do that. Too much radiation. You'll go blind. It kind of like sitting too close to the TV when you were a kid too.
It makes you wonder. I mean, obviously microwaves have changed over the years and I don't know that they're any more dangerous or less dangerous than they were back then. Like, because
they seem less powerful, don't they? Because like back then you could pop something in for 30 seconds and it was like molten lava. And now you've got to run it, you know? Yeah.
And they seemed a little heavier duty too. Like everything just seemed heavier. Like, and that makes me think, oh, well, that must be containing the radiation a little bit more than these lighter ones today, which is just kind of a thin thing of glass. Like, is this really protecting us from the radiation that's killing, that's it's like cooking our food right now?
Exactly.
Because I still stand there. I'm still like, come on, get done. And my head's like right at level with it. So
a TV would be fun. Like to be able to show up when a TV's off and be like an old time TV, not the flat ones we have now that don't really shine. But remember the old TVs where it was actually glass, and it was like, it'd be cool to like hang out there when the TV isn't on and show yourself from that. That would be cool.
There's always that distinctive sound of a television turning on, an old TV turning on, and you could, no matter where you are in most houses, I mean, we didn't grow up in mansions or anything like that. So if it was just a couple rooms away or something, or in the living room, you would know it. And not from the sound of what's coming through the speakers, but that high pitched noise that you turned it and it turned on and the tubes warm up. And there is a sound to a television that only those of us who knew those type of televisions know what that sound is. And it's eerie when you hear it today.
I know, because you're like, what is that? Why am I hearing that? There's no TVs around or whatever.
Exactly. That's weird. That's weird when I run into that. Every once in a while, I think the only place I really see it these days is like in an antique store or something. If somebody has like an old TV or like a flea market type thing where they're selling old, like old video games and stuff, and people, they may have an older TV hooked up. Then you'll have, there's a sound to it that is such a high pitch that it resonates, and you know when it turns off too.
And it immediately goes away. It's like, it's dead silent then in the house.
It's like dog whistle level almost.
I wonder if it really bothers them. I wonder.
Yeah. I mean, they always like look around. My dog has been acting very weird today. Like we were like, I was upstairs because I have a computer up in my bedroom, and that's where I work during the day sometimes because there's sunlight. And I was like, okay, let's go downstairs. And she's normally like, all right, let's go. And she just like looks up at me and she's like, puts her head back down.
You think it's the season change?
I don't know. Like even today, like but earlier this morning when we were getting ready to do true crime stuff, letting everybody out one more time before I get in the studio because I'm going to be in here for a while. And it's like, okay, come on, everybody. And they're normally just, they're okay. Yeah. All right. Whatever you say. And she, the little one, she just kind of is like, yeah, I'm just going to sit here in the yard. I'm good. I think she's testing bounds. She just turned one this last couple of weeks ago. So I think she's kind of in that dog teenager phase. I catch her smoking sometimes.
as long as you don't see her doing blow or something like that.
No, she's not doing that, but it did cross my mind earlier when right before I came down, I'm like, did she get into like weed or something? Because she's acting like she's fucking high. Cause she's just like, yeah, okay. Like I literally picked her up and carried her down the stairs.
Wow.
And then she sacked up back over there. I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, I keep that stuff pretty well high up and out of reach of children and pets, but stranger things have happened. She got into coffee not that long ago.
That's right.
Had to get her stomach pumped and I don't know. Maybe she's just having a chill day, or maybe she's possessed by a demon. You don't know. A real lazy one at that. That's going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want access to our bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and all that stuff, be sure to check out our Apple Podcast Premium channel. That's where you can become an EPP, an extra podcast person. You get access to the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and all of that stuff. Also, Patreon. Search Real Ghost Stories Online. Until next time, for Todd, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.